Today's reading from Luke's Gospel draws our attention to the heart of the Lenten season, repentance. Jesus himself issues the call. In fact, he does so twice, just in case we don't hear him the first time. The narrative begins with Jesus and his followers talking about current events, news of the day, and the news is bad. There had been a killing of Galileans by the Roman occupiers under orders from Pilate. And separately, a tower collapse at Siloam had resulted in 18 fatalities. Luke records that Jesus told the people it wasn't because of their greater sinfulness or guilt that the victims of the two disasters had lost their lives. In this situation, what was Jesus teaching? We know that among the Jews, suffering traditionally had been considered to be a divine punishment for sin. And that belief persisted even unto Jesus' time. Recall the account in John's Gospel of Jesus' healing of the man born blind, where his disciples asked him, "Is this man blind because of his own sin or because of the sin of his father?" It doesn't seem too great a stretch to surmise that the people in today's gospel account approached Jesus with a similar question. "Master, those Galileans massacred by Pilate and the people who died at Siloam must have been incorrigible sinners, don't you think?" Jesus' emphatic response is, "By no means." It's almost as if Jesus had said to the people, "Don't even go there." Having rejected the idea that the disaster victims were particularly sinful or guilty, Jesus pivots to his core teaching. Everyone is in need of repentance. Everyone is called to conversion. Don't spend your time looking at others. Look at yourself. Repentance means a change of heart. Moreover, the change of heart has to be reflected in a change of life. People who truly repent change the way they live. Now, we tend to resist change, even when it's for our own good. If actual obstacles to change don't exist, we'll imagine some. In order to maintain the status quo, we make excuses. We rationalize. When Jesus asks us to repent, to change the way we live, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just did it with no hesitation? Experience teaches, though, that we often resist. Repentance must begin with honest self-appraisal, and we may resist from the beginning by avoiding honest self-examination, by doing the same thing the people in the gospel passage did. We turn our attention to the guilt of others instead of acknowledging our own. We look outward instead of inward. These days, we may, for example, find that our attention is easily drawn to entertainers, sports stars, or politicians who are embroiled in various scandals. Focusing attention on the wrong behavior of other people, be they celebrities or simply people in our own circle, and concluding that their offenses are much more grievous than any of our own, we abide in a self-constructed comfort zone of our relative virtue. It's a way of justifying ourselves. This tendency to focus on the wrong behavior of others as a way of justifying ourselves isn't a trivial concern, something to be discounted as perhaps just a funny quirk of human nature. Satan is all too ready to exploit it, to encourage it, and so numb our sensibility to our need for conversion. to lull us into complacency. One repercussion of allowing this tendency to become a habit is illustrated by the story of a college student who was summoned to the dean's office for having engaged in academic misconduct. The student defended himself in response to the dean's reprimand. Said the student, "But Dean, there may be only 10 students in this entire university who wouldn't have done just as I did if they had been in my circumstances." The dean replied, "Has it ever occurred to you that you could have been one of those 10? The dean was trying to help the student see that he was settling for second best, that he wasn't setting his sights high enough. When we water down our responsibility, we're not setting our sights high enough. Recall that Jesus himself instructs us, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And there is St. Paul who likens the life of Christian discipleship to a race and urges us, run so as to win. The kind of spiritual relativism or contentment with mediocrity we're talking about is rooted in our less than honest appraisal of ourselves, and I would venture to say, ultimately, in our pride. Can we break out of it? And if so, how? One of the psalm prayers from the Liturgy of the Hours suggests a way out. It goes like this. Lord, you are the source of unfailing light. Give us true knowledge of your mercy so that we may renounce our pride and be filled with the riches of your house. Living out of a fuller appreciation of God as our caring, accepting, always ready to forgive Abba, allows us to let go of defensiveness, and so to see ourselves through his eyes of mercy. We need to pray then for this light, for this knowledge of God's mercy. We'll then be able to see ourselves more clearly and make more honest judgments about ourselves. Once we see what we need to do, what form our repentance must take, each of us will be able to run our race so as to win.